survey Krishna and all the cowherd boys. Madhva thought it. Vrindavana Shriyam. Vrindavana Shriyam. A beautiful statue of Vrindavan. Vyata spread. Ajagara Tundena, with the form of a python's mouth. He, indeed. Utprekshante, as if observing. Sma, in the past. Lilaya, as a matter of pastimes. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Upon seeing this demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boy thought that it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Therefore, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. Purport. Some of the boys, upon seeing this wonderful phenomenon, thought that it was in fact a python, and they were fleeing from the spot. But others said, "Why are you fleeing? It is not possible that a python like this is staying here. This is a spot of beauty, beauty for sporting." This is what they imagined. Om Gyan Timrandasya Gyan Jana Shalakya Chakshur Maitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vindam Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shumati Shri Guru Bhav Prabhu Chinamane Shri Shri Vindata Vivyura Thada Pastanka Jayane Prabhupada Anu Padaya Namah Shri Guru Bhav. So, before I start on this subject, I thought I want to share one short story on Srimati Radharani. Her appearance is coming up in a few days. Pardon? Not sure. Is it better now? Okay, so I was saying that I want to share one short pastime of Srimati Radharani. And this is recorded by Narad Muni. It was told by Narad Muni, who is an authority in our line. He told this story to King Bahulashva, who was the king of Mithila at the time, the king. And this story was told to Narada by Garga Muni, the family priest of Krishna's dynasty. So when Krishna was 3.5 months old, his father took him to the bank of the Yamuna, Mahavan, which at that time was part of Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. Also is described that the Yamalarjuna trees, they were in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, but they were also on the bank of the Yamuna River. So at that time, Nanda Maharaj's courtyard had spread it all the way to that spot. So at that time, the Yamuna was, that day, the Yamuna was very rough. There were high winds blowing, and it was a little scary. So little baby Krishna, he was very scared. So he was closing his eyes, and Nanda Maharaj could see that this child was pretty scared. So at that point, there was a glaring light that came. And from this light appeared a beautiful young maiden. And immediately Nanda Maharaj recognized his personality to be Srimati Radharani, very youthful person. Because he was told when Krishna was born, confidentially, Garga Muni told himself and his wife and a few other cowherd men that his eternal consort would be Srimati Radharani. So immediately, Nanda Maharaj recognized Srimati Radharani, and he offered prayers to her. Then he told her, he said, "You are now in charge of Krishna. Please take him and protect him, but I cannot." And it's like a normal thing that, at least in Indian culture, say, "Well, okay, The husband is under the protection of the wife. The wife takes care of the husband like that. So then Radharani took this little baby and she took him away into the forest. And immediately as Krishna went away out of the sight of his father, he assumed his beautiful youthful form, 16-year-old boy. And they went together to Govardhan. So they went there and Radharani created Govardhan in such a beautiful atmosphere, a lot of gems and jewels, and she went there to get married to Krishna. So she created this very beautiful atmosphere. Generally, when the ladies would, you know, arrange for their marriage, they would be the one to create the atmosphere. I want this decoration, that decoration. I want everything like just so to their desire. So generally, that's the way it is. So then Lord Brahma came down. He appeared before the two of them. And he told Krishna that I was sent here to perform your wedding ceremony. So Krishna said, okay. So then Lord Brahma performed the wedding ceremony in this beautiful atmosphere. And after the ceremony, then Radharani said, well, it's time for me to take you, Krishna, back to your father. So at that point, he again assumed the form of this little 3.5-month-old baby. So like that, Krishna is Radharani's, Krishna's eternal consort. So anyway, coming to today's verse and class, these pastimes continues on a daily basis. We were hearing so many different demons are being killed by Krishna, but only a few of them are mentioned here. Even I think it was yesterday's verse or the day before, it says that Krishna and his boys, they would take a break, they would kill a demon, rest for a while, and then continue their pastimes. This also stated in the Garga Samhita that there are many more demons that Krishna killed, and there are many more that they were coming. It's every day, but only a few of them are recorded here. So these pastimes are being related by our authorities, and sometimes they are told in little various ways. They differ a little bit from each other, but they're constantly going on because these pastimes are going on eternally, all the time. And every pastime is directly, every personality is directly connected with Krishna in some different ways. And he fulfills a desire or he fulfills the mood of a devotee, because Krishna is described, described as bhavagrihi, that he accepts the mood of his devotees. So whatever the mood of that devotee is, Krishna fulfills that. And he also fulfills the desires of other devotees, even the demons. So every aspect of Krishna's activities, every person that gets in touch, and as stated in the scriptures, there is some historic link that how that comes to pass. Like even in the pastime with the twin Arjuna trees, the two sons of Manigrif, of Kuvera, of Manigrif and Nala Kuvera, actually is described in the Bhagavatam, which was written by Srila Vyasadeva. He described that it was Narad Muni who cursed these two sons of Kuvera. But it's also described, hinted in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, also described in the Garga Samhita, which was told by Narada, who is also an authority, one of our authorities. And he told it to Bahulashva, but he was told by Garga Muni himself that it was actually Devala Rishi who cursed these two sons of Kuvera. So Arjuna describes this in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says that he told Krishna that all these great authorities have reveal this truth about you, and now you yourself are revealing it to me. And he described them, Vyasa, Narada, Sitala, Deval, and Vyas. So these are four personalities who Arjuna referred to as our great authorities. So Devala was one of them, Narada was one, Vyasa was another. So Narad Muni is saying that it was Devala Rishi who cursed these two. And Vyasa Dev is saying in the Bhagavatam, it was Narad Rishi. So this is describes, and this is, can give us a hint of our Achinta Beda, Beda Tattva nature of our philosophy, simultaneously one and different. So there is no confusion in that. There is no discrepancy because they're both authorities. So anyway, and as these pastimes continues, all these different personalities are coming to interact with Krishna. And Krishna is fulfilling their purposes because Krishna is the source of all incarnations. He also fulfills the desires, and wherever all the different incarnations left off, Krishna fill in the gaps. Like in the pastimes of Lord Ram, there's so many devotees, sages that wants to be with Krishna. They wants to be their desires to be fulfilled in a certain way. They want to Lord Ram to fulfill their desires, but he allowed them to be fulfilled when Krishna appeared. Similarly, there are many other incarnations. There are many other instances. So when Lord Vamanadeva appeared in front of Maharaj Bali, he appeared as this very beautiful boy. He was so beautiful and so attractive that Bali Maharaj's daughter, her name was Ratnamala, she became very, very attracted to this child. And she was so attracted to this child that she desired to offer her breast milk to this child. She wants to nurse this child. So then Lord Vamanadeva gave her a good wink. Okay. You know, like when you're little boys, we would do that. We would, when we want to tell our friends something from a distance, we would give them a good strong wink. Okay, you got it. So like that, Vamanadeva told this Ratnamala that, okay, your desire would be satisfied, would be fulfilled. So she was very attracted to this little boy. But then, when Bali Maharaj was about to be killed by Lord Vamanadeva, she became angry and she wanted to kill this child. So then like that, she had mixed feelings. She wants to nurse him from her breast, and at the same time, she wants the opportunity to kill him. So Lord Vamanadeva said, okay, your desire will be fulfilled also. So therefore, she appeared as Putana in these pastimes. So in these verses that I'm reading here, she is one of the three demons that are mentioned here. Putana, then her sister, her brother Bakasura, and the other brother Agasura. So like that, Krishna fulfilled the desire of these personalities, this demoness in her from her previous birth. She fulfills it because it was promised by Lord Vamanadeva. So from this we can see, with all, sometimes we say, well, all Krishna does is play on his flute and sport, and therefore, you know, he's the head of all incarnations. And if you look deep down into his activities are so compact in every second of his time and pastime here on the earthly planet, was compact with so many fulfillment of desires of all these personalities who interacted with him. Actually, when I was thinking about this, I thought of the Ramayana. It is said that the original Ramayana was described in 1 billion verses. And we know that Lord Ram lived for a very long time. Unlike Lord Krishna, he spent only 125 years on the earthly planet. So, and from what we understand, Lord Ram passed them, there weren't so much of these kind of activities that was performed. And yet, his pastimes was described in 1 billion verses. So then I start to think, well, okay, If we describe Krishna's pastimes in really full detail, if you have 24 hours a day, and even one day, like the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is described in 18,000 verses. But if you describe Krishna's pastimes in full details, you can probably have more than 18,000 verses for one day. So I was calculating 18,000 verses for one day, 365 days per year, and then you multiply that by 125 years, you're going to get close to a billion verses. It's like, yeah, close, very, very close to a billion verses. So Krishna's pastime is so compact and detailed that if we get really deep into it, there's so much you can extract from one day of Krishna's activities. So then you have this other demon, as described here, Bakasura. He, in his previous life, he was the son of Hayagriva, and his name was Utkala. And this Srila Prabhupada referred this in the sixth canto of the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, verses 19 through 22. Srila Prabhupada mentioned their names there when the demons and the demigods were fighting. So Hayagriv and his son Utkala. So this Utkala was a demon and generally very arrogant. They're always looking to create some mischief wherever they go. So one day he went to the next to the ashram of a great sage, Jajali. And next to his ashram, there was a pond. There's a little lake there. So this Utkala, he had a hook, just like you have fishing rod. These people going all around with their fishing, and they would have the fishing hook, and they would be catching fish. So he was doing the same with his hook. He was sticking it in the water. He would catch a fish, and he would immediately pop it in his mouth like that, just eat it just raw. So then this sage Jajali told him, he said, "Don't you do that, you know, it's not good." So he told him one time, he didn't listen, told him two times, three times, and he still won't pay heed to the sage's word. So then the sage turned to him, he said, you're eating this fish like a duck, therefore you become a duck. So like that, he became this duck, Bakasura. So this, when he actually got this curse, that's when he realized, and he thought, well, okay, this is a great sage, he's very knowledgeable. He starts praying to the sage and requesting him to please save him. So this is the difference between a demon and these low-class personalities you have in Kali Yuga. A demon understand philosophy. They know the qualities of sages. They know the qualities of, they know the divine and the demonic qualities. But for some reason, they choose to adopt these demonic qualities. Even like Ravana, he recognized Narada. He knew who Narada was. Kamsa also, all these great demons. When they see the devotees, when they see the sages, they actually offer respect because they understand philosophy. So similarly, this Bakasura, he understood the nature and the quality and the potency of the sage. So he starts praying to the sage that, oh, you're a sage. He starts speaking philosophy to the sage now. Oh, sage, you're a great sage, and by nature you should be compassionate, and it's our nature to be demoniac, so please don't treat me like this, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes when we're in trouble. So then the sage says, okay, this course is already there, but Krishna would come, and when he would touch your body, you would be liberated from this demoniac form. So like that, when Krishna killed Bakasura, then he got liberation. As even Maharaj Parikshit also questioned this. Why is it that this sage, that this demon Bakasura, he got liberated? He entered Krishna's body. So a third person here is Agasura. He, in his former life, he was a son of Shankachud. And Shankachud, in his former life, he was Krishna's dear friend Sridham. In Krishna's pastime, and this is recorded in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, is also recorded in the Garga Samhita, that when Radharani got upset with Krishna when Krishna ran away with Virja, she went and she was rebuking Krishna. So Krishna was very silent. He didn't say anything. Let this over with. You know, like the worst thing that that can happen when a wife wants to have a good fight with her husband or boyfriend, the worst thing can happen is when the male just be quiet. You know, they don't respond. So, you know, then it becomes a more, you know, it's like a more fierce thing coming about. So, like that, Krishna was very quiet, but Sridham, he felt offended that Radharani was insulting his dearmost friend. So he responded by rebuking Radharani. So then Radharani cursed him that you take birth in a Danava's womb. So like that, Sridham became Shankachud, and Shankachud's son, his name was Aga. And then this Aga, he came back, he was also by nature, you know, they're very proud and arrogant. So one day he was walking around and he saw this sage, very advanced sage, but his body was deformed, Ashtavakra. So his Ashta means eight, Vakra crooked, he was crooked in eight places. So his name Ashtavakra Muni. So this Aga, he was laughing at the sage that, oh, you're so crooked. Then the sage cursed him that you become a python, that I'll curse you to become a big snake. And you would also have to be, you know, moving in a crooked way. So then immediately he was offering prayers to the sage and begging for forgiveness. Then the sage said, well, that's okay, that Krishna would come and enter your body and you would be liberated. So like that, Krishna entered the body of this python, Agasura, as we would go on reading here, and thus he got liberated. So as we can find, we're finding from these pastimes that everyone has a purpose coming to be part of Krishna's pastimes, and a very, very important, a very integral part. And Krishna is fulfilling all these desires. With all, we don't pray to Krishna to fulfill our desires. We are praying to God, oh God, please protect me. And when you become very, very advanced, as like the Brijvasis here, they're praying, oh Krishna, how can I protect you? So it's like the opposite. And they're not praying to God anymore, oh God, let me protect you, oh Krishna. I love you so much, let me protect you. So like that's all these inhabitants of Brajabhumi, all their concentration is how can we protect these two boys, Krishna and Balaram. Not God, but these two boys. So like that, they were thinking of how they can protect, because so many disturbances are coming. But all these disturbances, Krishna has his own plan of fulfilling all these desires, fulfilling all these obligations. So with all, he's alert, but in reciprocation, all that he wants to do is to fulfill the desires and wishes of all his devotees. So this is a reciprocation that we have in devotional service. We are thinking, how can we protect Krishna? Like here, we're making offering every day, we're trying to, you know, feed the deity. Because our understanding is, and it should be, that, oh Krishna, if I don't feed you, then you'll be hungry. You know, so like that, if we don't bathe you and dress you every day, then you won't be taken care of. So that's the mood of a devotee. So like that, all these Brijvasis. And we can understand how many of them were there at the time of these pastimes. Like we were reading the other day that how King Ugrasena, he had 4 billion personal servants. Inconceivable. Then Krishna had unlimited number of cows. There were so many personalities, there were so many, just imagine, if only 4 billion personal servants, imagine the rest of the kingdom, how many were there. So, and there were so many persons, there were so many personalities and characters there. But everyone's concentration was on these two boys. How can we protect these two boys? Oh, Narayan, please help us. Please, please, please protect these two boys. So that's their mood. That's their mood of, they're not seeing these two boys as God. Even Bilvamangala Thakur went to Vrindavan. He went there searching for Bhagavan. So he went to Vrindavan and he was searching. He was asking everyone, where is Bhagavan? I heard Bhagavan resides in Vrindavan. God resides here. So the Brijbashi says, God? There's no God here. You know, there's no Bhagavan here. Where did you get that from? So then he got, Bilvamangala Thakur got his idea, oh, you know what? Let me ask for Krishna. And then I said, oh, this boy Krishna, we all love him so much. Here is Krishna, and Krishna is here in this forest. So like that, now, these Brijbasis, they don't understand Krishna as God. They understand as this boy that they cannot take their attention out of. You know, it becomes like an inseparable quality of them. Just like our inseparable quality is to perform service. That if we take away service from us, then we don't exist. Similarly, if we take away the thought of Krishna from the Brijavasis, then they don't exist. So like that, they were all very much concentrating their purpose around these two boys, Krishna and Balaram. So with so many millions of people, these are who they were concerned with. So because of that, they were moving from one place to the next. Immediately, oh, Upananda said, let's just move. Let's just go somewhere else where we can have peace. But Krishna's plan is there. He compacted his activities, his pastimes within the short 125 years. Was so compact that every moment he was fulfilling so many desires. He was carrying out so many duties. From the time he was born, from the very childhood, just like we see within our society, within our movement, like the sannyasis and gurus and advanced devotees. If you see how their activities are so compact that within one day, you know, that they can achieve so much, that they carry on so much. Like I heard before he got sick, Japatak Maharaj, sometimes he would fly in 3 countries in one day. One time I asked him, where do you reside? He said, what do you mean? Where do I spend most of my time? I said, yes, Maharaj. He said, up in the air. I also asked my Guru Maharaj, same question, where do you reside? He said, Delta Airlines. So they travel so much and they can achieve so much within one, you know, one short period of time. So similarly with Krishna's manifestation, every person that he interacted with, every one of these devotees, every one of these Brijbasis, he was serving, he was reciprocating, not serving person, but reciprocating in their purpose in so many different ways. And he was doing it all at the same time, from the very childhood. So actually, even Lord Brahma, when he performed the wedding ceremony of Krishna and Radha, was just like 4 years after that he came back in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. When he saw this same boy performing all his activities, he was totally confused. Is this the God that I thought of? Is this God? You know, like he was so confused because he wasn't qualified to be in that close arena with these as the Brijbasis to be and understand Krishna in that way. Similarly with Garga Muni, he is the one, he is the acharya. He was the family priest of Nanda Maharaj's dynasty. And he predicted when a child born, he said this child would be as good as Narayan. He understood all the qualities of Krishna. He described to Nanda Maharaj and his wife who Krishna was in detail. He took them to the cowshed privately and described all his details. Then afterwards, as Krishna starts playing around, and this same Garga Muni was seeing Krishna's activities, he was confused and he said, you know, like, I can't quite understand. You know, is this the God that I predicted? He can't understand because he wasn't qualified to be in that close arena. With all, he is the guru. He is the family priest. So then he left and he went to Bhadrakashram. He went to Bhadrakashram and he was meditating on the same Krishna. But he wasn't qualified to be there and see all his daily activities, how compact it was, and to understand. But these Brijbasis, with all, they had no knowledge. per se that you know that they were from the Vaishya family, and in those days with the Varnashram system, members of the Vaishya community, they weren't allowed to go to school and take education. They just live, they carry on, they take care of the cows, take care of the agricultural activities. That was their field. So all these cowherd boys were playing with Krishna. They were all very, very qualified. They were so qualified that they were able to be with Krishna on a day-to-day basis. So like that, their qualification went beyond all these knowledge of the Vedas as we are trying to learn. So I would stop here, and if anyone has any questions, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I think in the verse, one of the verses, it mentioned how Agasura, he changed into the snake. So it's a little confusing to me. It seemed like he had some form before he turned into the snake, because he was up in the sky. And then, isn't it that we read today that he did that?
Yeah. Well, you know, based on the course that he got, that he would turn into a snake, when he got a course from Astavakra Muni, because he was repenting and he was praising the sage, oh, you have so much such good qualities that, you know, please save me. Then the sage became very compassionate towards him, and he didn't allow him to get that snake's body right away. So he had a concession because of his repentant attitude. He had a concession that he would get his snake's body at a certain time. And I'm not a whole lot sure, but I believe that's the time that you're referring to, when he got his body and then he changed into the python's body.
Because, yeah, it mentions he's observing everything going on.
Yeah.
And then he, so it seemed like just at that moment.
Right,
he
yeah.
took on that form. I never thought of him as being anything other than Agasura the snake myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, our scriptures are so vast, and sometimes in different Puranas you might find different descriptions and more details that Vyasadeva and Srila Prabhupada have given this for us to work with. Prabhupada said this is enough to bring us back home after Godhead. And as far as all these details are concerned, they can be enough to get you confused also. Just like I was referring here to Narada cursing the twin brothers, and Devala cursing the twin brothers. There are some people who can come down and start a big argument over that, arguing, well, this is right, that's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And like that, you can create, it can actually be, create a whole big confusion. But does that matter to us? Who cursed them? No. For us is that we understand these pastimes, basically, and that's it. Just like some years ago, I listened to a conversation between two ISKCON devotees. They all knew the conclusion that Tulsi Devi should be worshipped on the altar. But they were, just for a friendly argument and a debate, they were debating, one playing the devil's advocate, they were debating, one saying that, bringing references that where Tulsi Devi should not be on the altar being worshipped, and the other saying yes. So they were just debating for the purpose of a debate and argument. But they both understood, this is Srila Prabhupada's standard, Tulsi Devi is worshipped together in front of the deity, not separately, that she's not allowed to worship separately in front of Krishna. With all, Srila Prabhupada himself allowed himself to be worshipped separately in front of the deity. That just proves Srila Prabhupada's position as unique. So sometimes there are so many different things that we can argue about, but the basics of what Srila Prabhupada gave us is acceptable and is enough for our purpose as devotees. So, are there any other questions? Oh, Trivikram Prabhu. Oh, Trivikram Prabhu, and then Abhay. Yeah.
Some devotees may say, I would only accept what the Bhagavatam says. I'm not going to accept what the Purana says. How you can convince them?
We have to convince them on the strength of Srila Prabhupada. That Srila Prabhupada gave us this philosophy, give us these books to study, give us this. Not even Srila Prabhupada said that these books are going to be the standard for the next 10,000 years. He also authorized some of his disciples to translate some of the other subsidiary literatures for our information. But these, what Srila Prabhupada has given us, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's basically enough for our purposes. If you want to be like learned scholars, like how, is not everybody Srila Prabhupada instructed to preach from the scientific point of view, only a few he told them, you know, delve deep down into these science and explain. But Srila Prabhupada personally, he didn't explain much information scientifically in the Bhagavatam or anything like that. Similar, like one of his disciples, he told me, Garuda Prabhu, he told me, he said, Prabhupada's personal instruction to him was that you go and get all the education there is as much as possible. So he said, therefore, he has become an intellectual nut. He has about 5 PhDs. You know. And so that was Prabhupada's personal instruction to him. For the general, you know, the general populace, the general of Srila Prabhupada's disciples and devotees and ISKCON, he gave us these basics. They're not basic, they're full details is enough for us. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada gave like that. So if someone doesn't want to accept, we cannot force them. Ultimately, we have to do it voluntarily. And we have to do through intelligence. So we can appeal to one's intelligence that here is a system. Here is a system of parampara. Accept what is stated here. So if they don't, then, you know, what can be done? Bye.
You were touching on one point that I was thinking about, that we have to take into consideration what is our goal, being in the Krishna conscious movement. Then the reconciliation of all these scriptural so-called contradictions is easier to do once our goal is fixed. And in that sense, Prabhupada would quote many times, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradyar Naparaha, that except for Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless evidence that establishes Krishna Prema as our goal, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, we have no respect for anything else. So it's a heavy statement, but it's based on the goal that we have set for ourselves. Like Vyasadeva himself was totally dissatisfied, even writing Vishnu Puran, Brahma Vaivarta Puran, like you're quoting. Because although in all of those places, even some Krishna Leela was there, it was only in an informational kind of display, an informational presentation. But when he got the mercy of Narada Muni, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranihite Amale, he was able to see in a pure form what is Krishna's Leela actually. And then after he had that darshan by the mercy of Narada Muni, then he explained all Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is spotless in that sense, that Vyasadeva, prior to compiling it, had full realization of Krishna's position, of Maya's position, of the jiva's suffering in Maya, and what is the proper medicine to take them out of Maya and drown them in the loving service of Krishna. So from that perspective, although many other details are present in the other shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam stands supreme, and the ultimate reconciliation of everything is in Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, since Sunday was Sri Gauranga Maharaj's appearance day, something he spoke about this, how Bhagavatam is the highest, he said, Amal, spotless. That means that other Puranas have some spot. They have some discrepancies. In other words, they may be unfavorable for our bhakti. So he quoted this pastime particularly about Sri Ram and being cursed by Radharani and becoming Shankachud. He said it's given, but as Gaudiya Vaishnavas we can accept, because to say that in Braj Dham, Srimati Radharani, who is the direct internal expansion of Krishna, and Sridham, who is also his internal associate, they have some conflict and curse each other, Radharani cursing Sridham, said we can accept. This is Gaudiya Vaishnava's, Mahaprabhu's opinion, and the opinion of Srimad Bhagavatam we should accept as the supreme authority, And everything else that supports that and is reconciled by that, we can take. Otherwise, these other puranas may have some spot that may confuse us or take us away from our enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, thank you very much for that information. I was actually thinking of mentioning that about Bhagavatam in class, and I thought I was just putting too much topics together, so I just left it out. So, yeah, that is true, and that's probably the reason why Srila Prabhupada, gave us what he gave. So that's why I mentioned that these are like for informational purposes, because of the arena of devotees that I'm speaking to here today, that they have more of an understanding. Sometimes if I was in a different crowd, I probably would have mentioned these pastimes. So anyway, are there any other questions? So I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.